Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
For me, one of the highlights of the second Folk on Foot Front Room Festival was the set performed by O'Hooley and Tido in their front room in their house in the Colne Valley in West Yorkshire. It was just so full of life, so full of joy, so moving, and when they took us down into the cellar, it was absolutely brilliant. And of course, a key figure in that set was their baby, Flynn, who was in the sling all the way through. So I just had to come to West Yorkshire to meet Belinda O'Hooley and Heidi Tido and baby Flynn and go for a walk in the Colne Valley. Good morning, Belinda. Good morning, Heidi. Good morning, Flynn.
Morning.
Flynn's in the sling.
He is.
You've got the accordion on your back.
I have, yeah, and I was just saying that it feels about the same weight as Flynn, but not quite as comfortable. Ooh. I don't think I've carried this very much.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you very much indeed for bringing it and for carrying it. And it's been raining, but the rain has just eased slightly now, hasn't it? So I think we're going to have an interesting and a bit damp walk. Where are we? Tell us where we are, first of all.
Well, we're in the woods in Slawit, which is in Huddersfield.
And Slawit is not spelt Slawit, is it?
It's spelt Slaithwaite.
Right.
But if you come to Slawit and say Slaithwaite, you will be asked to leave.
Right. So. I understand. And where are you going to take us?
Well, we're going to walk through the woods.
The Dart Woods.
The Dart Woods, yeah, it's called the Dart Woods. And we're going to take you along the canal and to various viaducts and tunnels and places that we walk a lot, basically.
Fantastic. Well, let's get going.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
Right.
So have you lived in this area for a long time?
Well, I hired it. I was born in Huddersfield. So I've lived in this town my whole life, for 40 years.
But you're from Waterloo,
but I'm from
aren't
the other.
You?
I'm actually an incomer, so I'm from the other side of town.
So what's your handbags?
And what about you, Belinda?
I'm from Leeds originally, and I came to Huddersfield in 1989 to go to university.
She poo-pooed Huddersfield.
Did you?
I did. Yeah, before she came here.
What, you thought it wasn't good enough for you?
Well, I put down on my... it was my kind of joke university choice if I didn't get many pints in the A-levels. I wanted to go to Liverpool and I didn't do as well as I hoped. So egg on my face.
She had to come to Huddersfield.
And you've never left?
And I've never left. I love it.
Where exactly do you live? You don't actually live in the town of Huddersfield,
no,
do you?
No, we live in the Cone Valley. This is the Cone Valley here, and it's made up of lots of different little villages. Milnsbridge, Linthwaite, Slawit, Marsden and Gurkha. And Gurkha, or Golkha, if you're an incomer, is where we live.
And I saw it because you did that wonderful set for us on the Folk on Foot Festival, the Front Room Festival, and we saw inside your front room.
You did.
And we saw your house. And you're in a terrace of houses, I think.
We are indeed, yes. We live on a street with lots of old terraced, Victorian terraced houses. We love it, don't we, Hyde?
Yeah, we've been there 15 years now.
It's not very big, one up, two down or whatever.
Are we going right here?
Yeah.
Is this a railway line or this is railway
it's
line?
It's the current railway line.
Express.
Right.
Goes through here.
So we're going to go underneath it?
We're not. No, we're going this way because there's a stile at the other end. And we're avoiding the stile because...
Going over a stile with that accordion would be quite fun.
Yeah.
So my sense was that you like it particularly because of the people in this area. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a very welcoming place, really. Everything seems to happen on the outskirts of Huddersfield. The Cone Valley is quite a diverse place, really. There's people from all over, lots of, it's quite arty. There's a lot of art, a lot of music. In sort of odd places, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like there's a cow shed.
Yeah.
That puts on music.
Well, did.
Did, obviously, pre-lockdown. And you actually sat on hay bales.
Oh, really?
Listening to music, yeah. It's very independent. I mean, Huddersfield off the home of the Luddites. So it's got a real independent spirit, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. Wasn't an easy birth. Smacked me head coming out. Made me rugged, shoulders broad. Ready to carry, ready to work. Foreign on my tongue. Dialect disarm. Spot the incomer miles away. When I turned up, knowing no one. When I showed up.
Tell us about your song, Cone Valley Hearts.
It's really a love song to where we live and the people that live here and the canal, which we call the Cut in the song. Lighting up the cut tonight, lighting up the cut tonight. Back at Dam, I saw her translucent by of carrier bags, lullabies, some to wear by the cenotaph, smoked from inside out, burrows deep as Mali's side, bejeweled with the kindest eyes, she has the kindest eyes. What you realise really is there are so many different people here, and there's people that we see that maybe we don't really know much about them, but we see them quite a lot. And we decided we'd write a song about those characters, those women that we've seen, and wonder what they're about really and what their stories are. And when we sing it here, it's become a bit of an anthem and people sing the chorus with us. Interest. We've just passed the place where we normally go for a wee.
you really wanted to know that bit,
no,
didn't
that's
you?
Important.
So when you're doing this walk, especially if you've had a cup of coffee, you have to find places where you can go for an outdoor wee. And
very important.
We both like an outdoor wee.
You have to when you do a lot of walking, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out to me. Hello, yes. Flynn.
That's Flynn.
You're taking part.
Flynn likes this walk, don't you?
We do it all the time.
Are you big walkers?
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
We go out every day walking if we can.
Yeah.
And because we haven't been touring very much because of lockdown, we've walked every day. And it keeps us sane, I think. And Flynn has known no other experience other than being out in the sling every day.
He knows these woods pretty well now, I think.
So yeah. Flynn's just been turned one, hasn't he?
Yeah, so a year of...
So almost
out.
Half his life has been spent in the lockdown situation,
yeah,
I
suppose.
Yeah,
that's right. He was 6 months old when we went into lockdown.
Yeah.
I think you've been all right with it, haven't you?
The sun's come out now and it's just shafting through the trees above the river. So we're on a path above the river. So
it's above the canal,
it's
actually.
Canal,
and
fun.
The river.
That's the Huddersfield and the river
canal, yeah.
It's just lovely with the sun coming through the wet leaves. And the leaves are just turning now, aren't they? You can see some little patches of brown amongst the green.
Yeah.
What a beautiful scene, and very wet underfoot.
We should sing one of our songs now, shouldn't we? We had a practice in the van, didn't we?
So what are you going to sing?
We're going to sing the Wexford Lullaby, and we learnt it from the singing of the wonderful angel-voiced Jackie Oates. And it was written, these words that we're going to sing, were written by John Renbourn.
Yeah.
Lulee-lulay, my tiny child, too soon you'll know the world so wild. Yes, all too soon you will be grown, and I'll bide here alone, alone. The rushing bellows you shall ride, and the light of the North Star will be your guide. But yet a while I'll have you stay, Luli, my tiny child, and you shall roam the meadows green and sport with otters all in the stream. Yes, you shall chase the dappled deer and swim with salmon in the waters clear.
to pluck the small birds from the sky. On the tail of the south wind you shall fly, and take the high hills for your home. Blood of my blood, home of my bone. And when at last your course is run, joy of my joy, my little son, beneath the skies you'll stand alone, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Yes, you shall stand on the cold black sand to cross all the waters of the western land. But now I have you at my breast, Luli, my sweet one, gently.
I'm wondering if that quality of lullaby is the sort of thing that Flynn gets every night. You know, has he been used to being around the songs and hearing them?
Well, he's certainly been around singing of some sort. We've made up a lot of silly little songs, haven't we? Little ditties for him.
Yeah, tons of songs. We sing songs to Flynn all day, really. So he is completely immersed in music. And when he was in Heidi's womb,
we were touring
a lot, and so we heard the set of songs every night, and Heidi using a stomp pedal, and we've noticed he loves
the beat, he loves rhythm,
right?
But we sing all sorts, don't we? Do wriggling and jiggling and fling.
Yes, there was one we sung to him every night when he was in my tummy before we went to sleep, wasn't there? We used to sing him goodnight.
Good night, little son. Sleep well inside your mummy's tum. And we'll see you again in the mornings. There'll be coffee and fruit and maybe an egg. And we'll all be together in the dawnings. Good night, sleep tight.
You should sing that
That's
to him
wonderful.
Every, to my tummy every night. I don't know what he made of it.
That's fantastic.
And we did really hypnotic ones that are just sort of, you just can sing over and over and over again, that kind of did used to send him to sleep when he was a little baby.
So it becomes kind of meditative almost.
Yeah. So there was one,
oh, you lovely one. Oh, you special one. 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 Oh, you lovely one.
A bit high.
Oh, you special one. Oh, you lovely one. Oh, you special one.
Oh, you special one.
Oh, you special one.
Oh, you special one.
Oh, you lovely one.
Oh, you lovely one.
Oh, you special one.
Oh, you special one.
Oh, you lovely one.
Oh, you lovely one.
Oh, you lovely one.
Oh, you special.
We've got it all mixed up.
Yeah, well, you know, you get the gist.
I get the gist.
I mean, it's not got much lyrics, but we managed to fluff
it. But
I
can see, you can just be, whoa, you're right.
Yes, sinking.
Falling into a branch.
And in the morning after breakfast, we both have our sort of jobs that we do. And then another train.
Hello.
That's the Trans Pennine Express, so that's
on its way to Manchester.
On its way to Manchester. And then we've got slower trains that stop at Slough and Marsden.
Well, there's a freight train.
Yeah, there is some train, Flynn. Very much part of our life, the train line, isn't it, Hyde?
Yeah.
So you're saying you have a little jobs to do after breakfast?
Oh, yes, sir. Thanks.
Yeah, so upstairs.
Heidi goes upstairs and she makes beds and things like that. And then I do the washing up with Flynn in the sling.
She can multitask and I can't.
All right.
And then once we've done the washing up, I always sit at the piano with Flynn. And we have about 45 minutes where I play quietly. And he has a snooze.
So have you played the piano since you were a kid?
Yeah.
When did you first take it up?
Well, my mum said I was playing the church kneeler when I was crawling, so I don't know if that's got anything
to
do with it.
So you were sort of miming the piano?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you mean along to the organ?
Probably.
Church organ, yeah.
When I was about seven, I used to have to stay with another family after school before my mum and dad came and picked me up, because they were working. And they had a piano, and the mum said, "Your Belinda seems very attached to this piano, and we actually don't like it. So would you like to have the piano?" And my mum and dad said, "Yeah." And I started having lessons, and I didn't have many lessons, but I had enough to be able to play it. And I've been playing the piano since I was seven.
So you didn't go in for the grade exams and all that stuff?
Did a little bit, yeah. I think I got to grade 4 or 5. And then I found it very difficult to read music. I can't sight read. And I found it very stressful and didn't like the exams because I just used to get really nervous. But I was writing and making up tunes by that time and sort of decided, really, Mum and Dad were happy for me to just go my own way with it.
And were you part of a musical family? Were your Mum and Dad musical?
My dad comes from a very musical family, so he was a bit of a singer and a bit of a show-off.
And this is the Irish roots,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, but my dad's brothers are definitely, like my Uncle Brendan was playing the piano and the accordion at 3 years old. My Uncle Tony was a professional musician right up until he died. So there's a lot of music from County Sligo in Ireland.
And did you grow up around Irish folk music and that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Every summer and Christmas we went to Ireland and the men would all be sat round the table playing in a session and the women would be making the sandwiches and washing up. And I soon worked out there was a bit of a difference. But I kind of decided that I definitely didn't want to be one of the washer-uppers. I wash up every morning now. So
and what about you, Heidi? Do you come from a musical family as well?
Sort of, yeah. My mum's mum, she, like Belinda, was a pianist and accordion player.
In Germany?
In Germany, she's German. So we used to go to the farm in Germany every summer, me and my mum and my sister.
And is this where the name Tido comes from?
Yeah, it's German, yeah, from the north of Germany. And the first thing I always wanted to do when I got there was go in the cupboard and try and find my unearthed instruments and just play about on them. I just found it magical. This big old sort of crusty farmhouse. And
didn't she play the accordion?
Accordion, piano and harmonica as well, yeah.
So were you exposed to quite a lot of German folk music?
No, I can't really remember what it was she used to play.
We're going to have to cross this lake
ahead
of us.
Yeah, we have to swim through here. Oh, we've brought you your cozzies.
I've got me shorts. There's a great big, puddle ahead of us.
And then on my dad's side, like my dad's family are also from the west coast of Ireland, so not that far from where Belinda's family is from. And there was quite a few musicians on that side, although neither my mum or dad sort of played any instruments or anything. So just me, really.
Didn't your mum get rid of your keyboard?
I had a little Casio keyboard that I loved.
Yeah.
A little microphone, and I was sort of making up tunes and things when I was little, and then mum said it made too much noise, so she got rid of it.
Oh no, I bet you were devastated, weren't you?
I was, yeah. We had the kind of opposite upbringings, really, didn't we?
Yeah.
You were very encouraged, I was, well,
you were
not.
Repressed, were you?
Yeah.
I was hot-housed, and
singing.
You were, like, told to shut up.
But was singing all right, Heidi, in your household, or... Singing,
yeah, I just did it in my bedroom, really, or I joined the school choir, or sang in church and things like that. So I always found a way to, you know, be musical, just didn't, nothing formal, really.
And when did you start performing?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't actually start performing, like, in public until my 20s. Yeah.
Can I just say, we're passing the canal, now it's opened up on the left, to... Lovely narrow boats moored here, and you can just smell the smoke from the stove on one of them.
These two boats live here. This is Mark.
This one?
Mark's boat, yeah. And he lives in the most idyllic spot. It's beautiful.
And the sun's come out now.
Yeah.
Which makes it look even more idyllic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that one's painted red and green.
That's called Secret, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't know who lives in that one.
It's a secret.
It's a secret.
Sorry, I've interrupted your story, Heidi. You were telling me about...
Well, I was studying in Leeds, and Leeds has got a really good music college. And I decided to go, like, on an evening to go to a singing group there. And the tutor was Cara Robinson.
Oh.
Who is just amazing, just this amazing singer and musician from Northern Ireland. But she was so inspiring. I was very shy at that point, very, very shy. Well, I still am shy, but I mean, like, really shy. And she sort of helped me to sort of be able to sing in front of people, really.
And, you couldn't make a sound at first, could you? You know, when they went round.
Not in front of other people, no. No, I couldn't.
What, you were just too frightened of it?
Yeah, it's just something. It's very easy to repress your singing voice, I think. It's very easy to dampen it out of children. It's a very special, I think, you know, art and music, everything. All children are born creative, but it's not difficult to knock it out of children, I think. So even though I was very musical in private, I just couldn't do it in front of other people. Mm. So,
and she gave you the confidence.
She managed to sort of unlock the door, really, to something.
So there's another a lot sign here there, as well, isn't there? Yeah.
There's loads of locks. Apparently, there's like more locks in this area than. I think it anywhere else in the universe.
Because the canal's going up a hill, presumably.
Yeah.
Belinda, what about your performing career? Did you start early?
Yeah, I did, because I started singing with my cousin Tommy Fleming in Ireland. So whenever we went over there, me and Tommy would sing together. And really, we were playing busking, we were playing in pubs from a really young age.
And what was the repertoire?
Just like the usual kind of well-known Irish songs like Wild Rover, Galway Shawl, Spansel Hill, The Old Triangle. We didn't do anything original, we just sang the old songs really. But it was great, we got quite a lot of attention and made a bit of pocket money and got used to playing really. And I used to harmonise to Tommy's lead vocals. When he got to about 18, Tommy decided he wanted to go professional. And I, a bit like Heidi, I'd always felt, well, I need something to fall back on. So I went to university and I did behavioural sciences at Huddersfield.
Aha, now, you're in Huddersfield.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing Heidi's in Huddersfield.
Yeah.
And are you about to meet?
No. We're not. Because no, okay. Heidi would have been about 8 at this point.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
10. That's okay, it. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm at uni. And then I did my degree, and then I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was always doing a bit of music on the side. And I eventually ended up singing in nursing homes and residential homes for older people, which I did for years and years and years and years and years.
Well, that must have been an interesting experience.
It was, yeah.
And was that because the music was therapeutic for the people in the homes?
Oh, do you know, it's quite an emotional thing, actually. I used to specialise, really, with people with dementia, older people with dementia. And just going in there, I used to bring a portable keyboard and sing the old songs, and quite a lot of them have got dancey rhythms and things. Mm-hmm. And seeing the change in a person from being quite kind of maybe
non-verbal,
yeah, maybe even quite upset and agitated. Yeah. The change in the mood in the lounge when the music starts is almost say miraculous.
Yeah.
And people will sing that don't remember their own names, don't know who their family
are. Remember the words and they remember the melodies.
They do. They may get up and dance.
So you were singing songs that they might have remembered in their youth.
Yeah.
Some from the 40s or 50s or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And sing-along songs from the pubs, you know.
But you learnt them all from the residents, didn't you?
I did.
You let them teach you the songs.
Oh, and some of the songs are just so beautiful.
Yeah.
I learnt so much about accompanying, about chord, call it chord voicing, so what chords underpin a melody and turn it into something beautiful and emotional from the songs that I learnt from the residents. And I learnt so many people's stories. Everyone's got stories, but they're sat there and it's almost like a sea of grey, and the rooms are quite boring, and there's not a lot in there. There's usually a television on. And there's so much colour when you just scratch beneath the surface and find out about people's lives. Heidi used to come with me sometimes.
Oh, you've met now?
Yeah, so this...
No, wait a minute. So how did you meet?
Well, go on, Heidi. You have the story.
You tell us, Heidi.
So we met in 2005. On the Huddersfield music scene. I went to Linda's gig and saw her playing and just thought she was amazing. Never heard anything quite like it, really. And she was performing her first... You just started out, hadn't you, really, on your own?
Yeah.
And you were performing songs from your first album. And then, really unlike me, quite sort of like brazenly, gave her my phone number.
Oh.
As you do.
Like at the same time, I'd started going to an open mic session in Huddersfield on an evening, and just started demoing a few of my own songs, and I gave Belinda a demo of mine and said, why don't you come and see me sometime?
So I did. Yeah.
And what did you think?
Well, the demo was pretty dreadful, I've got to say.
Thank you.
Well, it was.
It was
not you.
This is the recording quality you're talking about now.
Wow. Was a bit... Compliments are flowing.
Well, they'd used an effect on her voice like she was singing through a telephone. So it was hard to actually hear what she sounded like. But I kind of knew there was something different about Heidi's voice. So I had to go and investigate, and she was supporting somebody at a place called Bar 120, and I went along to the gig. And what really blew me away was just how she didn't follow any rules, because she's not musically trained, so she just... Let's wait for this train. There's lots of trains today.
It's busy today, isn't it?
Busy
yeah.
Line,
yeah. So I went to a bar where she was doing support for somebody, and I was completely blown away by the fact that she didn't follow any rules. She's not musically trained. And her chords that she was using on the guitar were so different and creative that my jaw dropped. And her voice, well, all I could say was the nearest I can describe her voice to was Annie Lennox, because it had that really beautiful husky quality of tone. So, and also she, you know, she was absolutely gorgeous. So, you know, the whole thing.
Got to the chase.
I just thought she was wonderful. And a few months later, wasn't it, that we actually sang together at a New Year's Eve bash, and we sang "Here Comes the Rain" again.
Did, so yeah, because Glinda's a big Annie Lennox fan.
Yeah.
And did you realise then that the voices were going to blend beautifully together?
They just interlocked straight away, intertwined. I just went into a harmony with Belinda and thought, wow, this really works. It felt good, didn't it? Sing together.
Yeah, it felt really good.
And then we just never stopped singing from there.
No.
So where are we arriving now?
Well, we're heading right now to Darkwoods Coffee, which is...
Our local roastery.
Yes, our local roastery.
You have 27 microbreweries and a local roastery.
Yeah,
Are there more than one local roastery, or is it... Oh, the smell is...
I think there's one in Melton, actually.
There is. There's Bean Brothers as well.
Yeah,
Another one. But this one is very special because we've done quite a few gigs in here as well, and it's run by our friend Damien, and Damien and the team that work here and make the incredible coffee, do the roasting here. They're such an important part of the very fabric of the Cone Valley, because
the sound.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's just all part of it, isn't it? So it feels really lovely to come here, have a cup of coffee and sing a song or two.
Hi.
Hiya. Okay. Hiya, Damien, you all right? Yeah, good fun.
Are you actually roasting at the moment, Damien?
We are, so we're just roasting away on what we call a vintage Probat drum roaster. So it almost looks like an oversized washing machine with a big gas flame beneath it.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Do you think we might get a brew?
Absolutely, no. Leave that with me. Just really have an idea.
This seems like a really appropriate place to sing your song, The Hum. Can you tell us the story behind the hum?
Well, yeah. The hum is actually about a factory down at the bottom of our street, which, a bit like this mill, has a gentle sort of sound. It's a humming sound, actually, for 50 weeks of the year. And then for 2 weeks of the year, the factory closes down and it has a holiday, during which time it's really nice and quiet. And there was a couple that came to have a look at a house that was for sale during that 2 week period, and they really, really loved it. So much so that they put an offer in on the spot. And then when they came back to see it again, the factory was up and running and all the sort of working cog sounds, and they didn't like it, they weren't impressed. So they pulled out of the sale.
Hello, Glenn.
And he was like, he thought, well, that was nonsense, isn't it? Because the sound of that factory, it gives the local people comfort, because it's the sound of people working and people still in jobs. And that feels like a very sort of poignant theme right now, the sound of people working.
And we can hear people working here today where they're roasting coffee, and there's a kind of rhythmic machine noise in the background, which might just be the pulse of this song. You might pick up the rhythm. Do you think?
I might do, and then I might not. The thing is, whatever you do, it's always there. Home is the
sound. Jennifer and Wayne would oftentimes complain. View in a house where a factory remains. Singular reason they pulled out of the sale. It would never pass in pursuit of middle class. To wake up to that din, it really wouldn't do. How could they retire when the poor refuse to? When the poor refuse to? Clever Mrs. B, she cared for herself, preferring poppies to cigarettes, I'd say. Found the poison nectar dripped in nicotine. Equivalent dose to 60 fags a day. Should we side with pest or let human do its best? Eradicate with ease 100 million years. 100 million years.
The home is the people,
is the sound of the people.
In the sound of the people,
in the sound of the people.
Is the home,
the buzzing,
is the sound of the buzzing
of the bees,
is the humming of the sound
of the buzzing,
is the humming.
So we better talk about Ann Lister, because like millions of others, I watched the BBC One series and your song was at the end of that series, Saran Jones and others bringing it to life in Sally Wainwright's drama.
Yeah.
But you were there long before that, weren't you? I mean, you knew the story before that. How did you come across the story?
Well, it was a friend of ours. We'd just sort of gone to her house for lunch, and she said she was being interviewed for a documentary about the life of Ann Lister. And we said, "Who's that? Who's Ann Lister?" She said, "Let me tell you." And she said that she was, you know, around in the 1800s, and that she used to keep her life written in diaries. Like, at that point, they knew about 4 million words worth of diaries, and that she lived in Halifax at Shibden Hall, which is where people from Huddersfield would go when they were kids to have a look around Shibden. And so we knew about it, but obviously didn't really know a lot about Ann Lister. She wasn't really talked about that much because she was a woman, and because of her lifestyle, Viana.
Well, because she was a lesbian.
Because she was a lesbian, yeah.
Right.
So people didn't really talk about her. So you might go to Shibden Hall as a kid, but not know anything about Anne Lister. So I didn't know about her, even though I've lived in this area all my life. The thing that captivated us both, she told us all this stuff about her. She said, behind her back, the disapproving residents of Halifax used to call her Gentleman Jack. And we just grabbed each of them like, that's a song.
Yeah. You can almost hear the rhyme as well, can't you?
It was, yeah. It comes off the tongue and everything. It's like,
it's a jig.
An Irish reel or jig.
It's a jig.
Yeah.
And I turned round and went to hide it. Behind her back, she's Gentleman Jack. And she said, ever so fine, what toe the line. And we were like, come on. So we got back to the house and it was so easy.
We had a load of fun,
so
writing,
fun
it.
And then
you did a video
of
the song in your dressing room.
Yeah.
Where
just
was it?
A bit of silliness. Salisbury Art Centre.
You were singing into a banana, I think.
Yeah.
At one point. And that's what Sally Wainwright saw.
Yeah,
pretty much. She saw the silly video of us singing Gentleman Jack and turned up at one of our gigs.
Strangely, she was impressed by it.
Yeah, she was delighted.
It was like singing into bananas. And she came up to me in the interval and she said, hiya, my name's Sally Wainwright. Can I use your song in my new drama?
What did you say?
Oh, let me think about it, Sally. Go on then.
And it must have been transformative for you because it must have brought you to a whole new audience, didn't it?
Oh gosh, it was
in America.
Yeah, it was like because it was shown in America first.
They've gone crazy for Gentleman Jack.
They have.
Absolutely love it. I mean, they love period dramas in America, don't they? The English ones.
We started getting emails from people saying they really like the song, and more and more emails, and then more and more people started buying the album,
yeah.
And they were using our web shop, and the web shop crashed.
Down.
Oh, really?
And we couldn't keep on top of all the orders because we do everything ourselves. So
you were packaging up the CDs as fast as you could and sending them out.
It was like having a full-time job in a shop, as well as answering all the emails.
And we're doing interviews, we went on Look North and Woman's Hour and
all sorts of things were happening. Well, she was quite a woman. She really was quite a woman, was Anne Lister. And I think the thing that's happened is many, many women, whether they're gay or straight or bi or whatever,
it's not just lesbian women, is it?
Have been really inspired by the fact that she was a transgressor because she defied what it was to be a good girl and a woman, and she wrote about it, and she's changed history really, because people are realising there were women that were doing things and
running businesses. I mean, she was running a business.
Yeah, she was so intelligent.
Well. She's so bright.
She was so intelligent, and she could, you know, she could meet any man, couldn't she? Head
on. Gosh, yeah.
In business.
A bit slippery, so I'm just letting you know.
Oh yeah, it's quite tricky on this cobble, presumably.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
It's usually me that falls.
Now, can you warn everybody? I'm about to get an accordion out.
You know, I just should say that we've come under a bridge.
Yeah.
And it does sound really good under here.
Amazing acoustics, yeah.
Belinda's got the accordion out. And what are you going to sing?
Well, we're actually going to sing a Richard Thompson song. And we think this is one of the most beautiful songs ever written. It's Down Where the Drunkards Roll.
You recorded this some time ago, didn't you, for one of your albums?
We recorded this for our Boozy album, Summit's Brewing, in 2015, which was a collection of traditional, contemporary and self-end drinking songs, from the good to the bad to the ugly. And we just absolutely love this song. I think it's a very emotional, touching sort of side of drinking and alcohol and humanity, really. Just had to do a version of it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
boys, they look so fine, dressed up in green velvet, the silver buckle shine. Soon they'll be bleary-eyed, wonder again why, down where the drunkards roam. Down where the drunkards roam. See that lover standing, staring at the ground. He's looking for the real thing. Lies were all he found. You can get the real thing. 'Twill only cost. Down where the drunkards roam. Down where the drunkards roam.
Thanks, Flynn. I love that. I love that you can be Lord Jesus, all the world will understand. It's such a, it's just such an evocative line, isn't it?
Amazing, wonderful. Amazing song.
Yeah. Well, thank you for singing it for us under this bridge. And thank you for this walk and for all the stories you've told us and for performing for us and for showing us the Colne Valley. Thank you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Ohuli and Tido in the Colne Valley in West Yorkshire. Well, if you've enjoyed this episode, there are more than 40 available for you to explore now. Joyful walks in all parts of the United Kingdom with some of the finest folk artists performing today. So please have a look and have a listen to all those episodes. And if you'd like to support us to make more episodes, why not become a patron? Make a small monthly contribution, get some great rewards. All you have to do is go to folkonfoot.com and click on the Support Us button. Above all, thanks for listening to Folk on Foot. We hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy making it. Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.